coming your way to talk about this this pending disaster we face, climate change. This is our special day of programming, bringing it all to you on KBOO Portland. And we're going to start the next hour off with a special program from Air Cascadia. And we're going to get to that momentarily at 10 o'clock. You're tuned to KBOO Portland, your community broadcasting station, and we urge you to become a member. We would so much appreciate it. And now we're going to go to Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today, of course, is October 1st, 2014, and the first day of our full membership drive. We have friends all over the station, all every room. People are working on this. It's right now, the most important issue is keeping the station functioning at the level it's functioning right now. I've never seen KBOO so united and so committed to building what we can only call is a climate of communication that is not on the brink of collapse. In fact, is on the brink of exploding. KBOO has never been in so committed to the future of this type of communication, this type of news programming, music programming, from top to bottom, and in every corner of our signal. There's something for everyone, and there are opportunities to contribute in so many different ways. Right now, it is your financial support that is what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of days. And it's always fun. We meet new people, and we hear new voices, and sometimes we even greet new faces coming down to the station. Today, we have headlines on Air Cascadia, as we always do, and we have a most extraordinary guest. I am so happy to be able to introduce Ann Peterman, Executive Director of the Global Justice Ecology Project. Everything about that, just the name, to me, it sums up what is the most important and critical issue of our time. It is shocking that it is so far down on the list of people's concerns, which only tells me that the people that they asked, what are your main concerns, are people who are quite comfortable right now, who haven't felt it. Indigenous people, on the other hand, have felt it. And many, many people in many places are fighting back. We had stories last week of voices being raised at the United Nations and at the climate actions all over the world. We spoke with Paul Quintos. We spoke with Tat Laurent, for the Philippine activists. We've spoken with many, many different people across the world who have all raised their voices and on concern over what we're facing. It's no joke. We're looking at news stories constantly on the Ebola crisis. It would maybe be a good idea to point out to people that the Ebola crisis is becoming, which used to be a very localized phenomenon in African villages, would flare up and then die back, and had been around for hundreds of years. But now it is posing a global threat. Why? It's climate change. It's a social justice issue. People. And it is from that perspective that we want to start talking about it today. And good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure, my pleasure.
Well, considering that climate change has reached epic crisis proportions, and people's reaction to it has been less than stellar, it's amazing to me. If there's an earthquake or volcano, everybody watches it on the telly. Everybody is up in arms over it. People want to send money to the refugees and so forth. But climate change is all around us all the time. If Ebola gets loose in the United States of America, then you'll see. Then we're going to see what people look like and how they respond to climate change. Can you talk about the social justice? Your organization is focused on that and in promoting the urgent issues of indigenous people. Introduce us, if you could, to the Global Justice Ecology Project.
Sure. Global Justice Ecology Project, or GJEP, which is our nickname, we were founded in 2003, and our mission is to look at the intertwined root causes of social injustice, economic domination, and ecological destruction. So climate change is one of those issues that neatly fits into all of those packages. It's being driven by this unsustainable capitalist economy. It's having massive social impacts and causing incredible wars and refugee migrations and death, of course. And it's causing huge environmental impacts. We've seen with these huge hurricanes that have wiped out whole areas, and in particular in the Philippines, but also even in Vermont and New York. So we try to look at where all of these issues intersect, and climate change is one of those that does that very neatly for us.
We are just minutes away from our membership break, but I'd like to just start talking about and introduce the issue of the Green Shark Doctrine. This report that was just released, it's very interesting. Downloaded it, haven't had a chance to go through it in detail, can you to introduce us to the report, if you wouldn't mind?
Sure. We put together the Green Shock Doctrine over the last couple of years, and it's really based on our experiences going to the UN climate conferences since 2004, and then prior to that being involved in the anti-globalization movement. And it's trying to look at what's happened with the UN, what's happened with the World Bank, with these other international institutions that have not only done nothing to stop climate change, but have actually exacerbated the problem, both by promoting false solutions to climate change and by, you know, basically just doing the bidding of the corporations that control them. And in the UN, it's pretty clear that, you know, when the United States calls the shots and obstructs any forward justice, they're doing so on behalf of a lot of corporations like Exxon and Mobil and so forth. So that's one of the things that we wanted to do with this Green Shock Doctrine, was get all of this information in one place that people could look at. They could really see why climate change has gotten to the point where it has, who are the actors that have been responsible for it, not just big fossil fuel companies, but these other agencies like the United Nations and the World Bank, and start to look at what people are doing across the globe to address it. So there are, you know, communities all over the planet that are implementing real solutions to climate change, real locally based, sustainable, bioregional solutions to climate change. And we try to put down some of those as well, and, you know, to try to give people as broad a picture as possible.
And hang on to that. Stay with us. I want to ask you about why this is being allowed to happen. Somebody must be making money. That's always the case when corporations fail to act with a sense of urgency. We're going to go now to our membership room, where Justin Miller and Per Fagren are waiting to talk to you about all the enormous benefits that stand to come your way. This is definitely a climate here that you can change, and you can improve it with your contribution.
That's right. The one good way we can talk about radioactivism that's getting involved. Welcome, dear listeners. This is the first day of our fall membership drive. My name is Justin, and I am joined by Pear, and we're asking you to start or renew an electronic funds transfer to spread your donation to KBOO over the course of a year, perhaps maybe 1 hour of your wages each month. It is relatively painless. It doesn't break the bank, and we're waiting to hear from you right now. You can call us by phone at 877-500-5266. Of course, you can always do that securely online at kboo.fm. We're going to spend the next 10 days in our membership drive. That's an abbreviated membership drive. We have a goal of $70,000. So we're really trying to stay focused and make sure we can get the input and the contributions from the listening community all over the region, indeed the world, as quickly as possible, restore you to uninterrupted programming. 877-500-KBOO or online at kboo.fm.
Or in person at 20 Southeast 8th. Come on down here with your credit card or your checkbook or whatever, and we have people who can just set you up with an electronic funds transfer, and you can see where your money is going. You can see that it is not spent on lavish corporate headquarters or executive hot tubs or anything like that. Spent on a bare-bones air room and a nice record library with music from all around the world that you won't hear anywhere else. That is where your money goes. 83% of our budget comes from people like you who want to get some information about the world, who are interested in the world and not interested in what the Kardashians are up to. They're interested in climate change because it's more important. It really is, folks. It really is.
That's what we spend our money on, Pear. You're absolutely right. We spend our money on informing and educating and empowering the community about climate change, about social change, about human injustice, about alternative economy, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't you call up and tell us all of the things you have learned by listening to KBOO, and then you could tell us how much you would like to give to KBOO, and we'll spread that out over 12 modest months. You can do that online at kboo.fm. If you'll do it over $75 or more, we'll plant a tree on your behalf with the help of Friends of Trees, and you will be doing your part. Call toll-free right now, 877-500-KBOO.
And we're back with Ann Peterman, my guest this morning. Ann, of course, is, if you're just joining us, is the Executive Director of the Global Justice Ecology Project. It's just come out with a report, which I highly commend to your attention, the Green Shock Doctrine, which more or less takes up the issue of shock of the disaster capitalism from the perspective of climate collapse and disaster capitalism. That's kind of where I want to go with this next question, which may be in a bit extreme. What I wonder is, if climate collapse were seen as a threat to the likes of Goldman Sachs and Monsanto and these enormous corporations, if they saw it as a threat, they would immediately be all over it. There would be a rollback of the concept of limitless growth, of genetic engineered food. But there isn't. Monsanto was all too happy to promote its products with the argument that we have to feed the world. Well, that's a terrible idea, because what do you do with the waste? No one thinks about that, eh? So my question for you is, If it seems to me someone must be making money here, they must be counting on cashing in on the suffering of indigenous people. Have you seen evidence of that happening? Or is this more delusional paranoia?
No, absolutely. Companies are planning to make money off of this. And they also know that it's a very serious problem, but in our capitalist system, you know, the idea is short-term profits, and corporations are you know, they're responsible to their board members to make short-term profits. So they're not looking at the long view. And if they are, they're looking at the long view in terms of what kind of profits can be made from the climate catastrophe. So the Pentagon, you know, in 2005 released a study declaring that climate change would, as they said, bring the planet to the edge of anarchy. It would cause all of these increasing wars and horrific conditions and so on. So that was the Pentagon, and that was almost 10 years ago. So, you know, this is widespread knowledge among decision makers and power brokers. And yet, they, you know, the big focus that they have is, okay, well, let's see how we can make some money off of this. So one of the issues that we have with, for example, the push to divest from fossil fuels is that if it's too focused on fossil fuels, then all of that money that was invested in fossil fuels is going to be diverted into other so-called renewable fuels, many of which are as destructive or even more so than fossil fuels. So, for example, bioenergy, both biomass tree plantations, monoculture tree plantations, or GMO crops like corn and soy or palm oil plantations, all of these are driving huge deforestation around the planet and kicking indigenous peoples and local communities off of their lands and putting out huge amounts of carbon into the atmosphere, especially in Indonesia, where primeval peat forests are burned in order to put in these palm oil plantations for biodiesel. So, you know, there's all of these false solutions out there that are being promoted because they will make some companies a lot of money. And they sound nice, right? So we're going to have these all of these wonderful renewable fuels, even though these renewable fuels are actually further driving the problem and not producing any solutions at all.
Yeah, the greenwashing itself has become a major industry. The churning out of one article after another about the all the glorious benefits of things like natural gas. There's a campaign which we are treated to on a regular basis if we stumble across a National Public Radio affiliate here. One might well encounter an ad which says, "Think about it." And yeah, I have thought about it.